So your homework assignment, if you're interested, is to watch season 3 of The Chosen, episode 8, which had a beautiful rendition of today's gospel and a lot to take in, ponder, and let the Holy Spirit guide each one of us in what he wants us to receive from that image and that challenge. So I have good news and bad news for you. Well, just bad news. There's a lot to say, so if you're trying to get home to watch the first quarter of the Chiefs game, you might miss it. But bear with me, because I think this is important, and I actually asked a lot of people after sharing this at other locations, these ideas, I asked them to help me censor it, help me cut it, help me shorten it, and they said, Father, there's really nothing you can take out. So, on their advice, we're going to go forward. So, there's a lot, and I've shared this at different parishes, like I said, and just so you know, you do have a dean, that's me, and it's the in-between, sort of an in-between role between the Archbishop and the parishes. Thankfully, Archbishop Amen is pretty accessible, so I don't have to do too much, but if it's helpful, I ask to go visit different parishes and offer a little word of support and guidance and communication. He really encouraged me. But we do really need to pray, especially for a greater spirit of communion between neighboring parishes and even with our Archbishop, for healing much of the damages that we face, not just physical after Ida, but spiritual damages, and for a deeper sense of our shared mission as the Church of Christ, the Church in New Orleans, and the Church in this locality. And a lot of people ask, well, Father, what decisions have been made? What churches are closing? What schools are closing? And I want to say that the Archbishop was clear, no decision has been made. A lot of people, all of us, are really challenged to reflect and look at our situation as an archdiocese, as different communities. But the one decision, he says, is this: given our circumstances, both as the archdiocese and as local churches, things cannot remain as they have been. And that's clear. So I have a few reflections over the last few months, and I just want to share them with you, but I know I'm speaking to many, and many different people with many different backgrounds. Some have a great deal of love for your parish, or a great deal of love for your pastor, perhaps. Some love our archbishop. Some have a great deal of trust in the archdiocese. Others maybe have a different sentiment or situation. So I know that the seed of whatever I'm sharing, this reflection, may fall in different kinds of soil, but I'm simply asking for an open ear and a prayerful ear for the Holy Spirit to lead us as one family of faith wherever he needs us to be. But I want to start by talking about storms. Maybe we were previously unaware, but I feel like Ida was only one of the many tremendous storms that our Catholic faith and our church community has been facing for quite a long time. In my opinion, Ida simply ripped off the band-aid, so to speak, especially with insurance and FEMA not coming through as quickly as we'd expected. We've been forced to have very tough, very sobering conversations, realizing that we were no longer riding the comfortable wave that we had been riding. I think maybe we've been ignoring things for a long time, and some of these conversations perhaps were likely decades overdue. So a lot of storms. Ida, I mean, just look around, we see our own neighbors, our friends, maybe ourselves, still trying to get a roof over our heads. Some parishes still haven't gotten a lot of help. The rectories are badly damaged. And for 2 years now, what the heck, right? Not a lot is being done to fix things, it seems. But the damage is worsening, and the cost of repair is getting higher. But Ida had also followed another storm. If you remember, the global pandemic, with almost a total economic shutdown, churches had to be closed to the public in many places. Several parishes without any collection coming in had to use their savings just to keep their lights on and come back after the shutdown. Another storm was the scandal in the church, which we're familiar with. So many have lost faith in the church, in bishops, priests, faith in the Pope. How could trusted shepherds do such things? How could they be kept concealed when they did such things? And from that storm, our own archdiocese, like many others, has been locked in a lawsuit, or many lawsuits, and in bankruptcy for reorganization, such that in many ways her hands have been tied, keeping her from helping in ways that perhaps she would have been able to help in other seasons and other times. And of themselves, these three would have seemed already a perfect storm to wreak havoc in any diocese, and indeed they did. But I think there was already other storms going on. Think of the demographic changes over the last many years. For me, I think this is the factor that's having the most influence in our conversations over consolidating churches or whatever. Y'all know there was an article that came out in May of this year highlighting nationwide the top 10 areas, or rather all the areas that were facing serious declines in population. St. John's Civil Parish, right down the road, was number 2 on that nationwide list. St. Charles Civil Parish, that's us. We were number 8 on a list of nationwide population decrease. And that's been going on for a while. A lot of things are changing. Many communities of faith are facing this diminishing population with little hope that the community will ever be as numerous as it once was. And again, this has been going on for a while. Add to that the reality of economic storms, right? Costs are increasing for everyone, even while that demographic shows the populations are leaving. Think of your own drastic insurance premiums, your utilities bills, and then apply that to your parishes in this area, all of which have multiple buildings to pay for. What about salaries? Teacher salaries, other salaries that need to increase to afford the basic costs of living. And again, you have lower populations, fewer committed parishioners to sustain that drastic increase in costs. And it's not getting cheaper. So are we going to see the donors increase or the donations increase? Or who's in charge of that? What's supposed to happen? How do you solve that? Years ago, we also heard about the storm of a vocational crisis, the shortage of priests. Now, thankfully in New Orleans, I think we were blessed for a long time not to have really felt it too much. We are so used to seeing priests, and we think that if one pastor retires or dies, like we just saw in the news only the other day, we just presume that we are entitled to another pastor. But we ignore that we don't have any priests sitting idle on the sidelines. Think for a moment, for one parish to get a new pastor, we're getting to the point where another parish will have to lose theirs. Or the pastor is already exhausted with one parish, will be tasked over 2 or 3 parishes. How's that going to work? And that's just the quantity of pastors. What about the quality, right? The quality of priests. I like to think I'm perfect, right? But it's not quite the truth, right? And we know that we all want the... Our priest has to speak English as his native language. We don't want the priest to have struggles with his English. If that happens, I'm going to leave my parish. Or I want the nice priest. I don't want that mean priest who's going to point his finger at me and make me feel judged. Granted, we all want the perfect priest, but we're not always guaranteed the pastor that we want. And I do hear some people, like when they kind of get their feathers ruffled or they feel offended in some way by the pastor, some mistake that he made, they leave their parish community. Who gets hurt when that happens? The community suffers that absence. It's real though, and I just want to call that out. Like, the storm is very real. The vocational crisis is right in front of us. And on top of that, there was the worsening spiritual storm of secularism and social divisions. In other words, a conglomeration of ideas and ideologies which, although different and even divisive in themselves, seem to have one common fruit. The cultural pull upon our friends and our families to distance themselves from their Catholic faith and from greater participation in the church mission. I think of secularism like Jesus' parable of the types of soil and the thorns growing. So many worldly anxieties, worldly focuses, worldly ideologies that choke and suffocate the spiritual life. And that's what secularism seems to do. Secular culture normalizes and even promotes sin while ridiculing faith and church authority, as if God would bestow his authority on any person or any organization. It's got that dictatorship of relativism which encourages indifference towards religious truth. We all want to be spiritual maybe, but not religious. I don't want to belong to a particular church. I just want to do my own thing spiritually. And it undermines any zeal for truth. We just are entitled to our own opinions, but don't think that you have the truth to tell someone else they might be mistaken or invited to embrace a greater vision of the truth. Sadly, statistics show that today, less than half of even Catholics believe that Jesus is truly present in the Blessed Eucharist. How did so many lose that faith? And how long has this storm been raging? So, a lot of storms, a lot of things going on, and we haven't really been recovering from those storms, so the damage has only been getting worse as we waited. We've been dazed and just pushing forward, hardly able to respond to the new situations, the new needs. We did not downsize. We did not spend more strategically. We had no plan. And our own parishioners were not aware of the seriousness of our situation. We simply told ourselves that since the church's doors were still open, we must be doing just fine. But then Ida hit, and insurance had to be portioned out. And we hear talk of parish consolidation, parish sustainability. Why are we surprised? Should we be surprised? And in this situation, with the diminishing population and all this havoc amidst so many storms, can you afford so many parishes and so many buildings? Is it wise to try to maintain everything simply because we've always had things this way? Do you exhaust your limited insurance funding to rebuild every single building and every single parish the way it was without stopping to ask the communities to reflect first? And that's what the Archdiocese is doing. Everyone's challenged to be reflecting right now on the situation so that you plan well moving forward. A worse storm, and I'll make a shift with this, I call it parochialism. And for me, it's the sense that church is my own parish church and buildings, and it's a tendency as parishes to work like 111 private businesses in the Archdiocese of New Orleans under the umbrella of that archdiocesan corporate headquarters. Amidst storm after painful storm, and with damage only increasing over time, we've rarely seen pastors collaborating with neighboring pastors who are also drowning from the same storms. There was no conversation about voluntarily consolidating our resources into one stronger community. Not for decades, it seems. Each business was focused on its own right to exist, its right to remain a parish. They were focused on funding to pay at least most of their debts, forgetting that they were still children nourished by one holy Catholic Church, which cannot close, even if certain buildings might need to close. Each individual boat seems so busy plugging its own holes, reluctant to join forces with neighboring boats in the same fleet. And yet if we keep that up, I think we're all going to sink. Parochialism has kept us paralyzed instead of working as one family against the same enemies and enemy. So for what it's worth, I kind of wanted to apologize as pastor or as dean. If over the last years, I myself or others have worked so hard to build up a parish with people, activities, and buildings of our own, that we inadvertently also built up walls dividing the one holy Catholic Church. There's only one church, Holy Family, St. Anthony, St. Gertrude, St. Hubert, etc. Parish is simply an arbitrary and really administrative subdivision of that church. It presumes that there are far too many people and activities for the one shepherd, the archbishop, to nourish and manage alone. So he appoints a pastor over an arbitrary, mostly geographic area and community. That community contributes towards whatever resources they need to extend Christ's kingdom in that locality. And also, like the early church community, they contribute to the larger community of the archdiocese, their brothers and sisters. But it's always one church, one family, one faith, one shared mission, the one church assembly, right? That's what that word means, that God is gathering into one holy communion. But in so many storms and with all of our shared losses, should we sustain so many divisions? And I think we need to begin perhaps moving towards working closer together, building a stronger communion, thinking strategically, perhaps more long-term, aware of the gravity of our storms and losses. I don't think it's going to be enough for parishes simply to survive if they're not thriving. This is not really a conversation about the viability of a parish, but its growing vitality. Any dead fish can swim downstream, but it's the living fish that swims upstream, even countercurrent. So are we alive in this community and our surrounding communities? Are we thriving? Or are we just floating and kind of lucky to keep our doors open one more year? And who's responsible for that? Is that the archbishop's job? Is that the pastor's job? Is that maybe our job? We'll talk about that in a minute. I can understand when I hear of the diocese paying for Catholic Leadership Institute or that outside sources and groups that help facilitate a parish or school conversation about its future or its consolidation. That's a painful process, and there's definitely a lot of frustration expressed in going through that process. But for me, it's mainly because none of us on our own showed perhaps the maturity to volunteer our own facilities to be those consolidated. We wanted our doors open at any cost, They should close their power center, not us. Us has to stay open. Close to Ida, I heard a leader in one damaged parish decline another parish's offer to house their PSR program since their own main building had been damaged. They said, "We don't want our kids helped by their PSR. They might not come back." What kind of division have we created when parishes can't even receive help from each other? Guys, I think St. Peter, St. Mark, St. Gertrude, St. John the Baptist, St. Joan of Arc, the saints themselves would all say the same thing. It was never about St. Gertrude or St. Hubert or St. Joan. It was about the one church of Christ. That's why we're here. Build that kingdom. Sometimes I hear parishes say, "Oh my goodness, look what the parish down the street is doing. We should do the same thing in our parish." Why not go support that effort there instead of rebuilding and reinventing the wheel? It's happening right down the street. Just go support that. If the next hurricane, which of course won't happen for another 30 or 50 years, right? No more hurricanes. But if it were to hit your own church, you should know that the buildings of the functioning parish down the street are your buildings. That pastor there is your shepherd under the one archbishop. Do you feel that now? Or turn it around. If their parish were hurt by the hurricane, would they know that this is their parish, that you're their brothers and sisters, that they can come here for anything they need? Do they feel that now? Well, what are we doing to help them feel that now? And again, look, insurance, y'all know this, insurance is rising. It's going to probably continue to rise a little bit. Does it make sense for every parish to rebuild every building and pay insurance on every single building right now? None of the buildings are full to capacity. If a hurricane knocks down your parish center, do you build it back up to hold the same capacity that was built for 20, 30, 40 years ago? Do you want to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on buildings? Or could you redirect some of that funding towards people? What about the scholarships for Catholic education that we don't seem to spend much money on because we're focused on buildings? Or other ways that money might be better spent instead of on preserving half-empty buildings. Sometimes I hear envious comments about certain parishes that are not on the list to be closed. I say this: no one should be sitting content or comfortable right now. No pastor and no parish. Look, we built a life center across the way. Does that mean that we're doing just fine? It really doesn't mean that. And we're not doing just fine. Any one storm, insurance increasing, a hurricane coming, a change in leadership, change in pastor, a lawsuit, could lead to closing our doors almost overnight, unless we're willing to work differently, more as one holy communion. So again, I ask forgiveness if church leadership or even other church communities have put any obstacles in the way of this needed and truly Catholic communion. Remember that word Catholic, universal, towards one. I'm finishing, don't worry. Some resolutions, some takeaways if you want. I think we need to overcome this paralysis of parochialism. We need to come together. We need to work smarter, more strategically, more long-term, getting out of ourselves, holding on tightly to things that last and not to buildings, as if the church were about her buildings. The church is about souls, not buildings. We need buildings, but maybe not so many. Not right now. St. Paul criticized the damnable divisions in the early church as if I am for Cephas or I am for Apollos or I am for Paul. He challenged them, is Christ divided? Are we dividing Christ a little too much? It's true, we know that the church is not immune to cultural divisions or social divisions. Y'all know that, you know, decades ago the Italian Catholics couldn't get along with the Irish Catholics. That's actually one of the reasons you have a huge Middlefield church, Catholic church, built across the street from another huge, beautiful Catholic church. Because they didn't love one another. They couldn't even worship together. But we are not of Luling, or of Dazalman, or of Pardee, or of Norco. We are not of my race versus of your race. I should be more Catholic than I am Caucasian. My faith must run deeper than my social boundaries. Can we receive that? Because Catholic, again, means universal, which implies we're building bridges across the things that divide us. Are we trying to do that? even now. I want to give a little plug, but you have programs like the Acts Retreat Program, other kind of similar programs that are about building community. That's something we desperately need right now. Not just within parishes, which we desperately need there too, but between parishes and between Christian brothers and sisters. Not long ago, the Archdiocese had its synod. A lot of feedback was given to the Archbishop from us, the people, and he wrote it out and gave it to parishes to start implementing, even working together to implement. Five years later, are we seeing those changes? Are they even taking place? Is anyone doing that? So secondly, as a takeaway, and listen up just for a moment, take ownership. Each one of us, take ownership of the mission that Jesus Christ entrusted to the entire church. He said at the Last Supper, as the Father has sent me, so I now send you. Kai, right there. It's all his fault. No, it's all of us. All of us. You and I. We are the church. And the mission was entrusted to us. Is the church the pastor, the archbishop, the nuns? No, it's all of us. We are the church. We need to own that mission. Take a minute. Look around you. Seriously, look around you at the empty pews. Do you see the empty pews? Was this church built in 2000 to be half empty? Is that why they built it so big? Whose job is it to invite more people to benefit from what's here? Whose job is it? It's yours, Father, get to work. No, I mean, yes, it is, but it's ours. We need to own this and feel the weight of this responsibility. I just want to invite a healthy stress before we go to bed at night. Am I doing enough? Is there more I can do to grow the kingdom of God in my church community? Because it is my responsibility. Take ownership of communication in your parish community and in the archdiocese. Whose job is it to make sure that your neighbor knows about the church picnic or the food truck festival, which was awesome, by the way, even though it was super hot? Whose job was it to make sure everyone knows about that? Guys, we post things and it gets 2 likes and 1 share. Come on, at least share it. Because it's your responsibility and mine to get the word out. Own that responsibility of communication. Who's in charge of your formation, the formation of the members of the community? Oh, it's the DOE. It's that one person in charge of PSR. It's her job. No, it's not. It's our job. I was talking with somebody yesterday who struggled because their daughter heard once that some teaching of the Catholic Church was maybe a little controversial, and they heard it once and they heard, yeah, if I don't do that, I'm going to hell. Well, that's not the church's teaching, first of all, but do you know how to teach that faith, that element of the faith? Do you understand how to explain the tougher topics? Are you content with a mediocre understanding of your faith? Am I content with it for me? Because if you can't explain it to them well, and they leave because of the bad impression you gave them, whose fault is that? And what are you doing so that that never happens? I guarantee you, I said this last weekend, you don't want a mediocre priest, you don't deserve a mediocre priest. But the people don't deserve mediocre Catholics. We need to own it. Own it. Make time for it. Hashtag the fire nights, the family nights of formation that we're implementing. Look, if PSR is not working, it's got to change. The family needs to be prepared to teach the faith, especially today, much better, perhaps, than it was being taught before. So many people say, Father, I got so little out of faith formation when I was growing up. How long are we going to let that continue before we try to change it? I think of Peter in the boat. It's kind of hard to step on the waters and do something new, but if it's not working, it's time for something new. Get out of the boat and get on the water and be a part of the changes that are taking place. Or come up with the changes that you realize need to take place. Own it. Bring the faith to school, to work, to your circles of friends. Don't keep it here on Sunday as if this is where it belongs. You all heard me say this before, but if the church continues to dwindle and you or I have not invited a new person to the parish activity, or the fire night, or the picnic, or the food truck fest, either here or the church down the street, you haven't invited anybody to go. And then you get the news that Holy Family is closing its doors. You're going to point fingers at the Archbishop? Whose fault will it be? What more could I do now before I get the letter in the mail to make sure that doesn't happen? Not just here, but maybe even the community down the street, we could do more together to make sure that more people realize what they have. That's actually one question too as we take ownership. Does your local civic community realize what they have right here? Are they going to miss Holy Family if it closes its doors? You have God in the flesh right there every single day available to spend time with Him. You have faith formation, encouraging people to reach out to their neighbor, care for their neighbor. If the civic community realized that Holy Family is closing its doors, is it just one more piece of real estate? Or did we do our part to contribute to the civic community? Did we own that responsibility to make sure they know what they have here before they don't have it anymore? You have church 5 minutes, 10 minutes from your door. You have faith formation nights every Tuesday, every Monday, every Sunday. Are you coming? What happens when you don't have that anymore? You gotta drive 20 minutes to the nearest church on Sunday. Well, then we're not gonna go, we'll watch it on YouTube. That's kind of what's happening lately. It's not okay. I want to encourage a spirit of initiative, creative initiative. Guys, your pastor sits there doing nothing all day. Give me something to do. No, I'm just kidding. But take initiative. Father, we're having 6 couples over to our house. Would you come hear confessions? Father, our 7th graders and I are getting together for a study group because we didn't get much out of PSR. Would you come help guide us in that? Maybe we want to do like a film forum. And we're going to use Moana because you always talk about it. Actually, we hate Moana, so we'll use Lord of the Rings. Even better. But take that initiative. Own it yourselves. Look, reducing PSR to 1 night a week, you know what that did? It opened up 3 other weekends each month. You can do more, not less. Oh, I have more time to schedule another commitment for the school or the baseball club. No, you don't. You have more time for your own initiative, for the needs of God's kingdom put in your hands. Use it before you lose it. I know it's hard. We need to stop, though, complaining about the physical situation of so many churches and buildings. It's not something we can easily fix. It's between insurance, FEMA, and the archdiocese. That's far above our pay grade. However, the spiritual building of the church, that's entirely in your hands and my hands. Fix that building, rebuild that church, and you won't have to worry about closing buildings. You'll need more buildings, newer buildings, better buildings. And people will want it and will demand it. You know the story of St. Francis, right? God appeared to St. Francis and said, "St. Francis, rebuild my church." So St. Francis went down to the church of St. Damian down the street and he started to rebuild the broken steps on the front porch. And the Lord was like, "No, not that church, the whole church." And he founded the Franciscans, which for now 800 plus years has been rebuilding and renewing the spiritual kingdom of God in your midst. But focus too much on the physical buildings or pointing fingers and ignoring our own role in our shared spiritual mission, you won't need buildings any longer. Just some invitations. There's a lot that we need to do at home, in our faith community, and in our neighboring, with our neighboring communities. I'm drawing to a close. You might still make the 2nd quarter of the game. But we don't come with decisions or answers. I don't come with any decisions or answers right now. But we do come to pray to the one who already knows what he's going to do. And we just need to get on that wavelength. We're about to receive the living sign and sacrament of Holy Communion, which truly is Christ, the source of our Christian life and our communal mission. I ask all of us to pray for that greater personal share in the ownership, the weight of His mission. Lord, may Your mission not be hindered by my indifference, my passivity, my negativity. May I take greater personal ownership in which You've entrusted to me. Guys, if buildings must close, may the church not slow down for that reason. We pray for a greater communion with others whom Christ has called to share that mission with me. That's our priest, that's our bishop, that's our fellow parishioners, our fellow Catholics, our fellow Christians. Getting over any cliques or any divisions or any other ideas that are separating us. May we be less focused on what divides us less identified by unique boundaries or parish boundaries and more focused on our Catholic identity, our Christian identity. We are all of Christ Jesus, who prayed, "Father, that they may be one, that the world may believe in me." May we hold fast not to many parish boundaries or church buildings, but to one Lord, one church, one community, one family of faith, gathered around one holy altar into one growing, thriving holy communion. That's our prayer today. And I know that this reflection falls on many different soils, many different ears, and again, I just ask for an openness for us to pray together, to be open to whatever the Holy Spirit needs us to do. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.